That has got to be one of the most irritating gospels in scripture. I am definitely on Mary's side on that one. I've had a lot of arguments with the Lord and I've lost every one of them, but they've been a lot like that one. Both of these gospels are echoes, and we live in a world of mysteries, let's face it. We're all people seeking answers. Whether you believe in God or not, we're all looking for answers to the questions of how we got here and what is there meaning to life? How do we find meaning? Without God, we end up with materialism, which is empty. It doesn't last. And so we've got these three mysterious strangers in coming out of the Old Testament and coming forward to Abraham. He's going to set forward and begin salvation history. The Lord entering into his own creation, and in a very hidden way, Abraham will be through which Jesus will eventually take on flesh through Mary and God will become visible. Literally. And so these three strangers, from a Christian perspective, represent the Trinity. They're coming forward, and in the Semitic culture, when you saw a stranger and you're a Bedouin, you offer hospitality in case they're an enemy to disarm them. It's kind of a diplomatic thing. So that would be a normal thing. Abraham goes far beyond this. He sees these three and says, come over and have a meal. But then when he sees them, he addresses the three of them as sir, as if they were one person. See how the echoes of the Trinity are already in this. If they are, of course, what the Jews would call the angel of the Lord, and we can recognize them as Father, Son, and Spirit, not in human, in reality human, but taking the form of a human being. And Jesus would have been perhaps one of these three, seeing his own ancestor, from whom he will take his flesh. And so Abraham offers them hospitality without realizing that they are angels, in fact. And so, meanwhile, Sarah is not there. Whenever strangers come, the woman would always be in the tent in that culture. And he says, well, next year your wife's going to have a son. Well, she's in her 90s. So she, you know what she's doing, the verse right after that. She's listening at the tent door and she's laughing. 90, huh? So the story is keeps going. But we keep going past Abraham, who recognized his opportunity and who gave far more than he needed to, tripled the amount one would normally give when he asked Sarah to cook something, and then they take a fatted calf, which is also not necessary. In his heart, Abraham knew there was something going on. And this, of course, was the Lord. When we come up to Martha and Mary, Jesus, who has now taken on the flesh from Abraham, is God in the flesh. And you know, Martha and Mary, they don't know who they're entertaining, really. They know Jesus is a prophet. They may know he's the Son of God. It's hard to get a handle on Jesus as God. But Jesus has come in there just to get away. He knows he's going to his death. They don't know that. But both Martha and Mary are trying to serve Jesus in different ways. You know, where are the disciples? Are they hanging around waiting for a meal? Or did they go into Jerusalem? You know, Bethany's just over the hill. Maybe they went in to find souvenirs, you know? Refrigerator magnets, that's what I always get. I suppose not. Who knows where they are? But I suspect that they were hanging around because Martha's panicking. And she's in there bustling around. I just love this story. I picture kind of a short lady, you know, and she's in the kitchen. She peeks out of the shutters, you know, and she sees Mary in there. Mary sees Martha. See, here's Jesus and here's Mary, right? She opens up the shutters. Get in here. Get in here. Not saying anything. Here's Mary. Well, here's Mary. Is she? Martha probably does this a couple of times. Can't you just see her? So finally, here comes Martha. I'm with Martha on this. What a lazy. Mary, all the three of these gospels, Mary's sitting around. That's her charism, sitting around. Got any relatives like that at dinner parties? So, and where are they when it's time to do the dishes? I'd like to know. Mary won't be there either for that. So finally, she comes out right in front of Jesus. She says, I'm cooking for you and 12 disciples. God knows who else was out there. She says, this sister of mine has left me to do all the cooking. tell her to help me. Boy, I'm with you, Martha. Let her have it. And of course, the snitch ends up being the one in trouble. See, this is if you ever snitched and the teacher ends up turning on you, this is what happens. And Jesus says, well, actually, Martha, I came here just for rest, and you're driving me crazy. See, the thing is that in the church, we need Martha and Mary. And most of us are either one or the other primarily. Some are really better at serving food under the bridge, and some are better in the Adoration Chapel. But the truth is, we need a little of both in our personal lives. I need to pray, and I need to act. If I'm all prayer and no action, that's not good. If I'm all action and no prayer, I'm going to go real fast and probably in the wrong direction. Martha didn't realize what Jesus needed at that moment was just a place to be. He had a lot on his mind. He didn't need food, but she didn't wait to listen. But it's all about discernment, you know. The thing I get with both readings, we live in a world of great mystery. We don't know what's going on. All around us, we cannot see. There's so much we don't know about, even the world from a scientific point of view, and certainly the fact that there are angels and there is meaning to our lives from their beginning to their end, and that we're going to live forever, and that everything we do is recorded and matters for our personal future is something that we learn through the scriptures. And so I was thinking about, I told this story a couple of times, so if you've heard it before, it's a good one, but I'm running out of material, so bear with me, you know. I was thinking about this story because it's one of the ones that really has changed my life. I was having dinner with someone in Los Angeles about to enter the seminary. It was 1991. And his name is Boris, in case he's listening. I'll tell him to tune in down there and listen to this. We've talked about this quite often over the years. He was taking over my jobs. I scheduled Eucharistic ministers and was a lector and visited the sick and all kinds of things. And he was taking over some of those jobs. We were having lunch to go over some of that stuff. So here we are. And we stop at this corner to go into this restaurant, and here is this family comes up to us. They were a young family with three kids. One was, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old, and then just starting to walk, you know. And then two kids, none of them were over 10. And they asked for some money to get to the center of the city on a bus. And the two of us, we just kept walking. And they're back there, right about where I was standing. We got to about here. Isn't that a great story? No? You think it's over? No. Because the two of us looked at each other like we were the biggest hams since Easter, you know. It's like, here we are, you know, the future priest. And here's this, he's still doing those jobs 30 years later. And we just felt like, oh my gosh, did we miss something or what? We said to ourselves, we both said at the same time, let's invite them in to eat. We turned around and they had disappeared into thin air. And there was no place they could have gone. No car picked them up. There were no buildings around there. Just two streets with three lanes of traffic and no buildings on the other side. They weren't in the restaurant. We checked. There simply was no place they could have gone, not with those three kids. They couldn't have run. Nobody picked them up. And so we looked at each other. We talked about that for a long time, and I think I would suspect that everyone in this room has had this experience. You know, St. Paul himself said, many of you have entertained angels without knowing it. That story in the Old Testament is our story. Those three visitors are constantly visiting us on earth because life is an opportunity. We missed that opportunity. Now, why did we find out about that? Why am I telling you that story today? How did we find out that they were probably angels? Because we turned around. That's repentance. You see, we felt bad. We turned around and caught them. If we'd kept going, we never would have known. How many times I haven't turned around, I can't imagine. But that was one time, and Martha and Mary were entertaining God. And I guarantee you, they didn't know who Jesus was yet. Not really. Even we have trouble with who Jesus really is to us. He gives us a whole lifetime to learn this. Thank God. You know, life is just one opportunity after the other. Many of them are, if they're not actually angels, they certainly represent Christ. And if I'm not praying, I'm not going to see it. or I'm going to work too hard in the wrong direction like Martha. It's all about balance and learning that discernment of when to act and when to pray. It is a balance that only the Holy Spirit can guide us, because there really is too much going on right now. Well, with the bombings in Nice this last week, I'm praying about that and those poor people. But their lives have significance to us. They are a sign that the world's in trouble, and we should be praying and acting. But what do you do? So this is the question. As human beings, we all have a finite limit. We're all going to get the answers at the end. What do you want me to do now, Lord? What is your will for the present moment? And it comes down to the individual level, really, I think. And this is in both stories, we see this echo. And St. Paul himself, in the second reading, says, I fill up what is lacking in the suffering of Christ. So even when we get burned, we try to help someone. We're filling up what's lacking in the suffering of Christ. You can't lose. The only way you can lose is by letting those three strangers go by and staying in the tent because it's too hot. Or not serving Jesus when he knocks at the door. What's he looking for? Hospitality in your heart, in my heart, in St. Edward's, but when we go out. And he wants to find a home where he can be at home in a world that doesn't love him. We're the ones called to love him by words and deeds and by making a home for him and cleaning it up sometimes if it needs to be cleaned up, but not locking the door. So we ask the Lord to help us recognize him in our lives and to guide us as Martha and Mary did by our actions and by listening to him.